Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. Welcome to Bowl Takeaways Week 12, which is brought to you by the writers at PigskinNut.com. Pigskin Nut, for those that are crazy about football. So we're going to go through all the action that happened in Week 12, but the way we're going to structure this is I'm going to let you know who all the contributors are, all the great people that have sent me their work, and I'm happy to be able to read their content. And for each individual game, I'll actually read from what those writers actually said about their bowl takeaways for each of those games. So I wanted to welcome Frank Torchia, Robert Alexander, Nicholas Reesus, Josh Davis, Patrick Chiodi, Levi Perillo, Hunter Marchetto, Blake Tolman, Ken Cunningham, Jeff Fuller, Michael Scott, and Garrett Riddell. So let's start things off by looking at Thursday football, Thanksgiving between the Bears and the Lions. And that game is brought to you by Frank Torchia, Patrick Chiodi, and Garrett Riddell. All right, Frank, you are up first. You're at the plate. So what did Frank Torchia have to say about the Chicago? What was his bold takeaway from the Chicago Bears-Detroit Lions game? Well, speaking of the Bears, and that's what he reported on, is that what Frank said is that the Bears, they have an embarrassment of riches on defense. And that embarrassment of riches, Frank feels, is really overlooked by Khalil Mack's presence. So meaning, you know, Khalil Mack is there. Everyone thinks that the defense, you know, he's the whole defense. But to Frank's point, he's not. Frank continues to say not to take anything away from Khalil Mack. He's a strong defensive player of the year candidate, but they got guys like Akeem Hicks, Prince Amukamara, who as a Giants fan, Frank is glad to see that he's prospering late in his career. I am too. I was always a fan of Prince Amukamara. Watching him on the Giants, he had a lot of good play for us. He definitely got torched by some bigger wide receivers a number of times, but he's still a solid cornerback and glad to see he's doing well. But Frank mentioned you got to look what else they have. They have rookie inside linebacker Roquan Smith. He's got four sacks this year. So Roquan Smith, he's not just a run stopper. He can blitz and he can go sideline to sideline about as well as any young middle linebacker in the game. And then the Bears backfield, Frank continues to mention that you got to watch out for them because it's not just Prince Amukamara, it's Eddie Jackson, it's Kyle Fuller. Okay, Eddie Jackson has four interceptions. Kyle Fuller has five interceptions. So you got to look at the takeaways that they're getting. And Eddie Jackson, Frank mentioned, this guy has exceptional ball skills, a nose for the end zone, and he showcased this with his pick six and five total TDs in his first two seasons in the league. So good stuff reporting on the Bears, Frank. Patrick, my friend, time to get to you, buddy. So mostly it seems like we're wanting to report on the Bears this week a little bit more than the Lions for obvious reasons. But here's what Patrick had to say about the Chicago Bears. And it's an interesting point that he made is that Patrick said that even without Mitch Trubisky, this Chicago offense has shown that it can still hold its own and win football games. And then Patrick said, let's be honest, the defense is way more fun to watch and will be the reason why they win the NFC North. But it's still nice to see what they're able to do on offense. So absolutely, I think... When you examine the offenses around the league, we probably know which are the offenses that will cater well to backup quarterbacks. Meaning, you know, the coaches really know how to get the most out of them. If you look at, I'm always using them, and I hate to use them because they don't have too many wins this year. But if you look at Kyle Shanahan up in San Francisco, he gets a lot out of his quarterbacks. He's gotten plenty more out of C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins, and I think a lot of other coaches would. And I think Matt Nagy is another one of those coaches. That offense is highly functional, and it's been that way really for the better part of the season. So So yeah, no, I agree. I think it's just a good sign to see that your coach can plug in a backup quarterback. You know, maybe you're not going to light up the game the same way, but your team can still have success. Absolutely agree on that. Good work, guys. And we also got Garrett Riddell giving his take on the Chicago Bears. Because look, they're an exciting team right now. Here's what Garrett had to say. And all these guys, all these writers, you know, I keep talking about the Bears, but good to listen to them all because they all have different perspectives and different ways of saying things. And I think the Bears are a damn interesting team to talk about because, you know, everyone's talking about the Saints. Everyone's talking about the Rams. But the Bears are starting to get that attention. And we got to look at the fact that they got a hell of a defense. But here's what Garrett said. Garrett said that the Chicago Bears are the NFC's dark horse to make a legitimate run at a Super Bowl appearance. I 100% agree with that. Garrett went on to say that the Bears showed today on Thursday night, on Thursday Thanksgiving football, that they are a complete team and how complete of a team they actually are. The defense, they had a bend but don't break mentality. They gave up 300 plus yards, but they came up big in key plays, which Garrett alluded to. He was referring to a pick six and a game-sealing interception when it mattered most to secure the win. Garrett continued to mention that the Bears, they continued to put constant pressure on opposing quarterbacks, and they capitalize on turnovers. Look, that's definitely a big part of winning games in this league. He continues to say if players like Khalil Mack, Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller, you know, keep up the style of play they have, you know, they can bottle up teams like the Saints or the Rams, which, you know, we'll see in Week 14. But even with a backup quarterback, we just mentioned this, even with a backup quarterback making his first start in years, the Bears proved to be a team to keep an eye on going down the stretch. Garrett, again, mentioning, as I said, a good job by Coach Matt Nagy there. So thank you guys for contributing. Hopefully next week we'll have some love for the Lions. But, you know, my take on the Lions is this, is that, you know, I think Matthew Stafford, and I'll just say this, here's my one bold takeaway. At this point in his career, he should be better at reading coverages. I remember an interview with him a few years ago, and I don't know why I remember this, and maybe it's an overreaction on my end, where someone asked Matthew Stafford, you know, hey, do you see a quarterback guru in the offseason? He's like, no, that's not really my way of doing things. So I kind of took that as a negative, and I'm like, man, you know, you really definitely, you know, you want to give yourself every competitive advantage that you can. But look, he's got a hell of a throwing arm. You know, he's a good quarterback, but him not being able to read coverages prevents him from being a great one, in my opinion. All right, looking at the other Thanksgiving Day game, we are going to look at the Redskins and the Cowboys. We covered the Saints and the Falcons pretty heavily on Friday. For the Cowboys and the Redskins, we got some takeaways from Ken Cunningham. Ken, his main takeaway from that game, really two of them, but they're kind of focusing on the same thing, is that the Cowboys' upper management is showing that they can learn from their mistakes. He gives two examples. Number one, Amari Cooper. Before the season, Dallas said, we don't need a number one wide receiver. 7 weeks into the season, as Ken said, they show that they are okay admitting they are wrong by trading a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. And oh, by the way, their offense has turned around and is getting better week by week. Ken went on to say it's starting to actually look closer to what we saw in 2016. Other takeaway that Ken has regarding Cowboys upper management and how they've learned from their mistakes is what they've done in terms of depth on the offensive line. Ken talks about that last season, the Cowboys, they went into the season with a third-year unproven backup tackle to their franchise left tackle, Tyron Smith, who's probably a Hall of Famer. They had Chaz Green, a third-year unproven guy, and this really blew up in their face big time. It didn't help that Lael Collins was just in his first year, in his rookie year, as a starting tackle. And you know, he refers back to the infamous Atlanta Falcons game where Dak was sacked 8 times. Chaz Green started over an injured Tyron Smith. But you fast forward to this Thanksgiving. What have they done? Because as Ken alludes to, this is the first game of the year that Tyron Smith has missed at left tackle. So instead of having a third-year unproven guy, they bring in a 4-year vet in Cameron Fleming, who's actually shown that he can be a reliable tackle in this league. And he actually started in last year's Super Bowl for New England. Very, very good journalism there, Ken. Ken feels that, you know, although that Cameron Fleming showed some rust, he got the job done where they weren't able to do it last year with Chaz Green. So Ken says big props to upper management for recognizing their mistakes and correcting them. I'm going to read Ken's other takeaways from the week just because they're pretty quick. Ken, other big takeaways from this weekend is the dominance of the Saints, the Rams, and the Chiefs. But Ken says we're not talking enough about the Chargers and the Bears. Absolutely. I feel both in the AFC and the NFC that right now is the dark horse team. As just a passionate football fan, I know the Giants, you know, they're not going to be making the playoffs, but I would love to see Philip Rivers playing a Super Bowl. He really deserves it, in my opinion, to this day, one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, top seven quarterback. But Ken goes on to say that these teams are real contenders. They have great QB play. They have solid defenses. They certainly do. Look, both teams can get after you. The Bears got Khalil Mack. They got Akeem Hicks. You know, they have Leonard Floyd. Roquan Smith can blitz as well, and they can create coverage sacks too, and they can get a push from the middle. And the same thing with the Chargers, because they got Melvin Ingram, but Bosa's back too. That makes a big difference. So good stuff there, Ken. And Patrick also talked about the Washington-Dallas game, really the Cowboys, saying that Jerry Jones is looking like he was right about Amari Cooper, and the Cowboys finally got the spark they needed to match that defense. Will it be enough for them to win the division? And then Patrick says, it could be, as long as the offense keeps chugging. And I think he's referring to that Kool-Aid. So good stuff there. And me personally, just speaking on that, look, right now, at this very point in time, I would say the team that is playing the best is Dallas. You want to look at from the defensive side of the ball. It's them. I said before going into this year, Dallas has a hell of a front seven, and they can be a sleeper team to have a very good defense, and it served them well this year. And absolutely, as we said, Dak Prescott, him having Amari Cooper makes a major difference there. All right, moving on to the Giants versus the Eagles. Let's hear what Frank Torchia had to say. All right, so Frank, a New York Giants fan like myself, mentioned that his bold takeaway is that the Giants can't seem to get out of their way when it comes to play calling. Eli had missed a couple of reads by failing to see a wide open tight end, Rhett Ellison on a failed 2-point conversion, and Saquon Barkley on another play while trying to force a ball to Odell, which really should have never been thrown in the first place. He feels that these mental errors by a QB in his 15th season are unacceptable, but are also part of the problem. And I'll just speak to that. I think Eli Manning is a serviceable quarterback when protected. Is he elite? No, I don't think he's ever really been an elite quarterback. Maybe in 2011 he was, because if you look at what he did that year, he virtually orchestrated 7 or 8 come from behind wins for the Giants that year. And he threw, and it was his career high in touchdown passes, I believe it was. But look, he was great that year. He won the Super Bowl. But has he ever really been elite outside of that? No, he's been serviceable, which has helped him, you know, maintain a starting position. But again, you know, Frank says he doesn't feel that errors are these are completely unacceptable. He's in his 15th year, and also, you know, where was Evan Ingram all game? And then also, why did the Giants, and I've heard a lot of Giants fans talking about this, is that why did the Giants abandon the run with Saquon Barkley in the second half, as Frank said? Frank mentioned that they outgained Philly 346 to 159 in terms of offense in the first half. And the Giants only gave a standout rookie, Saquon Barkley, 4 more touches in the entire second half after he ravaged the Eagles' defense in the first half. So yeah, can definitely see the frustration with that. Why change something if it's already working? He feels that when you look at the play calling, Evan Ingram's absence from the entire game, didn't have a target or a reception, and Frank feels he should have won his matchup that week. These are just all kind of coming together, and really a big part of the reason why the Giants are sitting where they are right now. When you hear Josh Davis's takeaway on this game, his bold takeaway, it's that Philadelphia won the game because they owned the second half and they owned it in the trenches. The Giants in the first half, they got the better of them. They got Saquon going. I think another reason why Frank and a lot of other Giants fans are wondering, you know, why do they not use Saquon more in the second half? You dominate. You won the first half. You won in the trenches using him. Now you almost pass exclusively in the second half of the game, and then look what happened. So I agree. Probably wasn't the best way for the coach to call the game. But again, second half, the Eagles really showed up. But also, Josh feels that another takeaway is that Carson Wentz, he had a pretty bad game last week, but he came out, he played well today. And I think, you know, just based on the fact that Carson Wentz showed you some really good stuff the other day, he was in the MVP conversation the other year. Let's not write him off yet. And let's not write off the fact that maybe Philadelphia can make a run down the stretch. Me personally, and Josh didn't actually say they'd make a run down the stretch, but me personally, I feel that Philadelphia, they can't get it done with it without a running game. They don't have a bell cow back, and I think that's why this team cannot go very far. And look, I said before the Jacksonville Buffalo game, as much as you know, I was critical that Josh Allen shouldn't have been a top 10 pick, or I don't even know if he should have been a first round pick. When you want to look at playmaking ability, he gives you a lot more of that than Blake Bortles. Look, he's a hell of an athlete, Josh Allen. He has a cannon of an arm, literally one of the very strongest arms in the NFL. He's athletic, and he's going to give you more than what Blake Bortles can. So I think, to me, when you look at Jacksonville, they've really wasted, they've wasted several years now on having subpar quarterbacks. They did it previously with Blaine Gabbert, and this team, if they had a solid quarterback, which they don't have right now. And look, I'm not just saying this because Blake Bortles hasn't played well this year. I didn't think he should have been a first round pick even coming out of college, because I thought there were tools in his tool belt that were missing. But I think what's happening largely is that the defense is playing. The defense has been bad, no doubt about it. But they're definitely playing unmotivated because they know the offense can't sustain drives. So, look, I think Jacksonville, they don't need to completely rebuild. They need a retool and reload a little bit. Look, they still got some players on defense, no doubt about it. But they look dysfunctional right now. The team looks frustrated. They got to get themselves a franchise quarterback. I'm going to give my own little quick takeaway, bold takeaway from the Seahawks and Panthers game. It's this. The Seahawks, they have some underrated receivers. Look, I know these guys, you know, they're not top of the league receivers, but these guys come out to play. Great job that game by David Moore, Tyler Lockett. I think Doug Baldwin has been an underrated receiver his entire career. The Seattle Seahawks receivers, they step up, they make big plays, and I think it's a testament to the way they coach and the kind of players that they have. So a quick takeaway that I have from that game is that Seattle's wide receivers, although they may not be, you know, some of the elite in the league, they come to play. A bold takeaway I have for the Carolina Panthers is that DJ Moore, their first round pick, they drafted him to be a number one wide receiver the last few weeks. He's been just that. It ain't Devin Funchess. This is the DJ Moore show in Carolina. He's been really good. Next up, looking at the matchup between Oakland and Baltimore, Patrick Chiodi had mentioned that, you know, look, you got to look at this game. He said that Lamar Jackson, he's now a starter of 2-0. But his bold takeaway is that the fire is getting bigger under Joe Flacco. Absolutely. I think that fire is way up his ass right now. What Patrick also said is that, you know, he'd like to see, you know, although the fire's getting bigger under Joe Flacco, he'd like to see more accuracy out of Jackson and see him play against a team that isn't tanking. I mean, yes, Oakland, he said, yes, Oakland is tanking. I don't know. Well, I'll say this. On a team, there usually are players that are tanking. The whole team doesn't tank, but yes, you know, there are a lot of times when you see a team playing this bad, I saw it with the Giants last year. Yeah, there are players that are taking a lot more plays off. But going back to Lamar Jackson's accuracy, I think, you know, the more he can learn to play with a wider base, which they're going to help him do up in Baltimore, that should help his accuracy a little bit. Look, accuracy to a large extent is one of those things that if you don't have it in college, you're not going to see it in the NFL. But there are times mechanically where there are certain things that, you know, if you can fix them, your accuracy will get better. I think Lamar Jackson's can get better if he widens up that base, which I'm sure they will be doing with the coaching he has up there in Baltimore. All right, moving on to the 49ers-Buccaneers game. Let's hear from our writers. Cardinals 49ers, hearing what Josh Davis had to say. Josh Davis says that Jameis Winston has proven again why he should be the starting quarterback there in Tampa Bay. He went on to say that Winston went 29 for 38, 312 yards, two touchdown passes, and zero interceptions. And he said, while some might say that San Francisco is a falling fast team, you know, their defense has been better than what people think. The 49ers came into this game with 12th against the pass, 11th against the run. So their defense has not been the reason they've been so bad. They just don't have the playmakers on offense to really be a dynamic, explosive offense there. So good stuff, Josh. And an interesting thing that I heard from Nicholas Reesus is that although Josh just talked about Jameis Winston had great stats, Nicholas mentioned to me that this is the only time in Jameis's career that he's had over 300 yards. Only the second time in his career he's had over 300 yards and no turnovers. So that's an interesting thing to look at there. Nicholas also talked about his bold takeaway is that the Buccaneers finally have a pass rusher, and they do. Jason Pierre-Paul, as Nick alluded to, is now the first Buccaneers player in 13 years to have 10-plus sacks. Also, he said we got to give some credit to Mike Evans. Mike Evans has now joined A.J. Green and Randy Moss. He is now only the third receiver in NFL history along with A.J. and Randy to start their careers with five straight 1,000 receiving yard seasons. So good job there by Mike Evans. He also said a bold takeaway that he had is that that there is definitely a disconnect and some miscommunications that we're seeing between DeSean Jackson and Jameis Winston. Nicholas also said, and it's kind of a bit of a rumor mill, that DeSean Jackson was the first person to run off the field after the game. Before the officials did even, he also didn't stay in the locker room for any of the interviews. And also, talking about the fan base there in Tampa Bay, Nicholas said that the attendance was dreadful on Sunday. It was the worst attendance that Tampa Bay has had since 2013, with under 50,000 in the stadium. Another takeaway that he had is that while Dirk Koetter may be losing his job pretty soon, if you look at the way the offense has functioned under him as a head coach and an offensive coordinator, look, they may not be closing out drives, but this is still a potent offense. Browns won a huge divisional game against Cincinnati. Hunter says one of his bold takeaways, Hunter Marchetto says, don't sleep on the Browns, because Hunter says, don't look yet, but the Browns may be starting to put something together over there in Cleveland. Right now, they're 4-6-1, and they're already running much better than they ever were expected to by most. He said, you look at Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb, they're coming into their own. And look, we've seen the stats showing what Baker Mayfield has looked like post-Hugh Jackson and while he had Hugh Jackson as his coach. Obviously, there's a huge differentiator there when you look at stats, but Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb both are coming into their own, and he says that these guys really do have great chemistry. The offense seems to have good chemistry, and the defense, for the most part, is starting to stand firm a lot more often. He said if anyone said during the offseason that the Browns would be half a game behind the Super Bowl champions and a game and a half ahead of the Jaguars, he said, no, we really would have laughed at that, but Cleveland is really starting to play a much better brand of football. Levi Perilla went on to say, it's the same old Bengals, and he said that it's time for Andy Dalton to go. And I talked about this earlier in the year is that Andy Dalton is playing for his career right now because he's really been on that cusp. Can he be a franchise quarterback? Is he not a franchise quarterback? You know, where does he stand with that? And I think it's been a very gray area. You look at earlier this year, that you know, that offense was very functional earlier in the year. But look, good players, good quarterbacks, they play good football down the stretch. He certainly hasn't. Levi went on to say, you know, that he was shut out against Cleveland, and that Driscoll actually came in and did a better job, than Andy Dalton would have. So, it might be a sign that it's not only time to change coaches, but also to change quarterbacks there in Cincinnati. Look, they're a decent team, but they're never going to be more than that. I think, you know, until they make some changes there. Marvin Lewis, you know, he's considering what his win-loss record is, he's been there. He's been there for quite some time. Looking at the New England Jets game, Michael Scott still feels after that victory and because of who they beat, people are sleeping on the Patriots, but he thinks their season is just about to begin. Blake Tolman also mentioned in his post-game report that Tom Brady has now passed Peyton Manning for the all-time leader in NFL passing yardage when you're looking at regular season and playoffs combined. He also had a bold takeaway in there saying that, and I don't think this surprises anyone, is that with the return of Gronk, the Patriots have gotten their rhythm back in the passing game. And me personally, you know, when I look at the New York Jets, they're just not a good team on paper. I don't care who's coaching this team. I don't care if it's Bill Belichick, Sean Payton, Sean McVay. They're not turning this into a playoff team. They simply do not have the personnel. Sam Darnold, I said it from the very beginning, and damn it, I'll say it again. He's not NFL ready. He never was. Look, I think Darnold, and I know Darnold's not playing, and I get it, but I'm just talking about the Jets roster in general. Sam Darnold, if you examine his play at USC, I saw a guy that kind of looked like a combo of Andrew Luck and Tony Romo the way he played. However, he does not read coverages as well as he needs to. He's still raw. He's still raw as a prospect. He came into the league more raw than Baker Mayfield, certainly more raw than Josh Rosen. I think he's got great escapability. He's got a crap ton of upside. But if you go back and look at his play at USC, that guy was not reading coverage as well. What he can do is he does have good feel and good anticipation. We'll see how he develops over the next few years. But the Jets, look, they got Josh McCown. They don't have a big passing game. They've had a big running game at times. I think that's been mostly based on the way their scheme has been. But they just don't have a lot of firepower there to get it done consistently. So Jets are definitely going to have to, you know, reload and probably keep on rebuilding in the offseason. And before I dive into the Chargers at the Cardinals, what our writer said about that, I want to read something from Levi Perillo because he has an interesting takeaway because we're talking about the Chargers, we're talking about the AFC West, and that is that he feels the AFC West could have a shot of having three playoff teams. He said if Denver continues to play they've been, especially after yesterday, they could sneak in. And oh, by the way, they beat the Chargers the week before in a close one. He said, however, if it happens, this would require Denver to win out. Me personally, look, I haven't looked at their schedule, but their pass rush is back. Bradley Chubb playing the way he does opposite Von Miller makes a big difference there. And actually, to answer my question, Levi says that, however, it's pretty easy for them to win out. I probably should have read the rest of it before I spoke. But he said that they're playing Cincinnati, the 49ers, Cleveland, Oakland, and the Chargers again, who they just beat. So it is very possible they could run the table, thus having three teams in the AFC West that can make the playoffs. The Broncos, the Chargers, and the Chiefs. Good stuff, Levi. And a bold takeaway from Josh Davis about the Los Angeles Chargers is that they are one of the most complete teams in the NFL, and like other writers are saying, they are a sleeper. They have everything from Phillip Rivers, who by the way went 28 for 29 with 259 yards, three touchdown passes. Melvin Gordon, look, he's Melvin Gordon, he's definitely set himself apart as one of the best running backs in the league. Austin Eckler is a great secondary back for them. Really gives them a two-headed monster. Different kind of running back, different dynamic. But you know, look, they can rush the passer. They got good players in that secondary, so a lot of good stuff there, and a very complete team. The Los Angeles Chargers are, and look, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Los Angeles Rams. I don't think they're going to be able to put on. I think defensively, they are not going to be able to rush the passer as well as teams like Los Angeles and Chicago, which is why we're starting to talk about these teams as sleeper teams, because they have offense, but they can also get after the quarterback. And, you know, I did want to go back and read something from a game that a good bold takeaway that I missed. And that is Robert Alexander talking about, I'm just going to go back in time a little bit, the Panthers-Seahawks game. He says that Carolina, you know, what has been their issue and what they're showing a pattern is to close out football games. They did it last week. They did it again this week. And now they find themselves on the outside looking in. All right, moving on to the game between Pittsburgh and Denver. Patrick Chiodi had a really nice takeaway from this, and he said that Pittsburgh should have won this game, but the reason why they didn't is that penalties and turnovers killed them. Denver right now, they're playing excellent football, and they're finally feeding Philip Lindsay the ball. And the coaching staff is finally starting to play to Case Keenum's strengths, because we all saw Case Keenum, what he did last year. He was a good quarterback last year, and he said with Denver's easy schedule down the stretch, this could be their key into the playoffs. I think for Pittsburgh, big part of their secret sauce right now is Juju Smith-Schuster, because right now they have two 1A wide receivers. You look at Juju Smith this year. He actually has more receiving yards than Antonio Brown. And as Josh Davis alluded to, statistically had the better game of the two wide receivers on Sunday. So I think, you know, looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers, my takeaway, I think this team is, regardless of winning or losing, they're definitely a team that I think is a sleeper team in the AFC. You look at them, they can get after the quarterback with Watt and Dupree. A little bit suspect in the secondary. But you know, you look at what they have on offense. As long as James Conner continues to play well, and they get a running game out of him, I think they'll be okay and could potentially make a deep run. Colts Dolphins game, another close one. I thought Ryan Tannehill played pretty well coming back, but you know, looking at this game, and I said, and I'll go back to that. Ryan Tannehill, he's playing for his career right now because he's yet to put together a full season. They need to go into the offseason with him at least finishing the season healthy and having success. But Patrick talked about the Indy offensive line, speaking of the Colts, that this is actually their first time. This is the first time in 6 weeks they allowed a sack. But still, it didn't stop them from continuing their winning ways. And interestingly, Patrick talked about, his takeaway is that look at Eric Ebron with Andrew Luck versus Matthew Stafford. Eric Ebron has now scored as many touchdowns in 11 games for the Colts as he did in his entire tenure with the Lions. He said, this team is going to be the Colts more dangerous and more dangerous down the stretch. Absolutely agree with that. Miami, you know, they really, you know, they didn't capitalize on the turnovers. I think that was a big reason, probably the main reason they didn't win that one. And I will have to find a way just to organize this a little bit better, because I know this is the second time I'm going back. But Garrett Riddell sent me something. This might be the best takeaway of the week, actually. So it's so good, I'm going to go back to it. He said that something to keep an eye on is Philip Rivers' arm. He said, yes, Philip Rivers completed 25 straight passes, but he said, I watched them all. He said they are all screens, a lot of floaters that shouldn't have been floaters, a lot of 5 to 10 yard out routes that could have easily been picked off had they been covered tight. So I guess what he's saying is a takeaway is Rivers potentially showing age in his arm. He said, you look at Peyton Manning his last year. You saw that. I don't think that's an issue. I don't. But it's a really good observation to not just look at stats and say, oh wow, he was perfect. Because look, it's not the same as throwing 25 passes, you know, in the intermediate part of the field or whatever it is. But look, you know, it's a good good observation there. I don't think it's much to worry about. He's still right now one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL playing his best football, but you know, could be something to look at. Packers Vikings bowl takeaways. Levi Perillo says Green Bay is now done for the season. They absolutely are. He then went on to say they need a new head coach and they shouldn't have paid Rodgers all that money because they need the salary to help get the missing pieces on offense and to bolster their defense. Look, absolutely. Look, Mike McCarthy, you can't say he's a bad coach. There's a reason he's been coaching there that long. There's a reason why he coaches in the NFL. However, there are plenty of good coaches that wear out their welcome. I think, you know, looking at Green Bay this year, you know, it's sometimes you just need someone new in there. And when you look at Green Bay as an organization, definitely agree with that. They don't have dynamic running backs. They got Davante Adams as a receiver. Jimmy Graham's over the hill, and they don't have premier pass rushers. Their secondary has been issues for the last several years. You know, they've gotten Jair Alexander. You know they've added some help there, but they lost Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Look, they really right now you could definitely say that the amount of money that they're paying Aaron Rodgers has tied them up from doing more with their salary cap. Patrick Chiodi, speaking on the Minnesota Vikings, says a bold takeaway is that how well they protect Kirk Cousins is going to be the number one thing that dictates how they're going to play down the stretch. And he said they got to do a better job at the end of games closing them out, and they have to play a better brand of football with the talent they have with the Bears playing the way they are. Because Minnesota, they got a lot of talent on that team. Kirk Cousins is a fine quarterback. Hasn't always played at a top level this year, but he's shown me more than enough that he is deserving of that $84 million contract. But you look at the rest of the team, that they have great receivers. What I love about Thielen and Diggs is those guys, they the way they go after contested catches. They can get the separation, but those guys are slippery underneath, and they are great at making those contested catches. I think a big thing for Minnesota is, will their defense play up to the standard of how good they can play down the stretch? Because they got a lot of talent on that defense. We did expect more out of them this year. The Vikings offensive line has been an issue at times, so that's definitely going to be a big thing to look at down the stretch for Minnesota. Monday Night Football, my bold takeaway, Deshaun Watson, he is evolving before our eyes. When you look at him tonight, look, an offense, either the center or the quarterback sets the protection. He was setting the protection tonight. He did a hell of a job doing that. While Marcus Mariota on the Titans side, the center is the one that sets the protection. Look, I said before, Deshaun Watson, what's good about him is he's a pocket first passer that knows how to get outside the pocket and make plays. He is, to me, a definitely superior athlete to Marcus Mariota. But Jeffrey Fuller feels that the Titans offensive line is still failing them. Marcus Mariota showed that he was efficient tonight, but they still couldn't generate a whole lot of offense, make a lot of big plays down the field to get the running game truly going, and he feels a lot of that goes on the offensive line. And that wraps up everything for today. Next week is going to be my goal to get this one under 30 minutes, make it a little bit shorter. This is Steve the Scout with the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. If you enjoyed today's podcast, go to the iTunes store, give us a rating. Thank you. We'll be back with you tomorrow. We'll be right back.